Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
I'm Steel Saunders. Welcome to Steel Wars. And I love Star Wars. It's so late. I've forgotten the intro horse. Can you do it for me?
I'm Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars.
Excellent. I'll keep going.
And each and every week, I find somebody of interest to talk about it with.
Oh, that's very extended.
Yeah.
I can't think. Do you know what the only thing I can think about right now, Hawes?
Filoni baloney, huh?
The hat. What was the hat doing?
Just its thing, man. Doing its own thing.
Last year, we had this. This year we had this.
I saw somebody tweeting and said, oh my God, did you guys catch the cameo? And I was like, I'm pretty sure everybody caught that cameo. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It was right in your face.
People that haven't, like, will never watch the episode have seen the cameo.
People who don't know who Dave Filoni are, is like, what's that guy in the hat doing?
Is that Cad Bane? Is that Cad Bane's brother? I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm more excited than ever for the Filoni film. All right, how about this? Before, we haven't discussed anything about the episode.
Except I sent, so my new thing now was when we were watching Star Wars at the same time is to send you a non-specific reaction text to see if you can guess what I'm talking about. Like when I sent you the one that said, oh boy. Oh boy.
Yeah, but it was a total different thing.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think you sent so sick. What was your so sick thing?
Well, you guess, buddy.
When the Mandalorian, like, cessed into the fighter.
That was sick.
That was dope.
The TIE interceptors launching.
That was, that was my guess before when I was watching. Because I was like, what's his so sick bit? Okay, the question coming out of the episode is this, before we get into our feelings about the actual episode, which are mixed, the highs, the lows. Was that the last episode of The Mandalorian?
Buddy, I was asking the same question. Like, it felt like that could be the end of the series, right? I don't think it is. So, you know, during Celebration, Jon Favreau said he was right in the fourth season. Well, he also said they were right in the third season when they were doing Book of Boba Fett. So who knows what he was talking about. But he did say that he's writing a fourth season.
He also said he didn't have a set end, but then they announced a film that was going to conclude it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think he's very honest.
No, yeah, I think... It seems like it could be, or maybe like it's the end of this arc.
This is a brutal comment.
I saw it.
James Waterman, Sam... The Mr. Thesaw took one look at the writing for this season and was like, nah, I'll sit this one out. I thought there'd be more of him. And the end, like the little zoom in on Grogu.
Mm-hmm.
And But then they actually, they did also really spell out they were going to go on other adventures.
Yeah, I think that's, I think this is the end of this arc, not necessarily the end of the show.
Yeah. Greef Karga's dialogue has gone downhill. He, like a Rick Ollie, would watch this season of The Mandalorian and go, stop explaining everything, mate.
I did like him giving the deed. And that house looks pretty sick, gotta be honest. Nice little house on Navarro. Sheesh.
It looked like it had an Australian gum tree out the front, CGI'd in.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. That's a type of foliage that I've never seen.
That's where the koalas live, buddy.
Oh, okay. That'd be cool.
Should we go through some of the... Let's get your thoughts, and then we'll go into some user-submitted rants.
So I really liked it. I mean, I'll be honest. I was kind of like really digging it in the moment of watching it. I had a lot of fun. Do I think this episode or this season was perfect? By no means, right? But I found it satisfying. Like, I like, and me included, right? So many of us are like, oh, who's going to be the crazy person that shows up in this? What's going to be the big crazy, you know what I mean? Cameo or whatever, or character appearance. And I kind of like that they just focused on the characters that this story is about. You know what I mean? And I thought that made it very satisfying.
For those listening to the podcast, I'm clapping.
Yeah, I thought that was actually a really good choice. And like, you know, you get a certain amount into the episode and you're like, well, they're not, I mean, at this point, if they do something, it's going to be a little weird. But like, I actually really dug that it was more focused on just the characters that the story is about. Like, you want to know one of my big complaints, and it's stupid that this is a complaint, but I wish we would have seen some of those Mandalorian fighters and like dog fights with the TIEs. Like a bit of a space battle going on. Now, I think the maneuver they did was sick. I'd just like to see a little, you know, a little bit of dog fight.
But the point was that they weren't dog fighting a horse.
I know. I get it. I wanted to see it, man. That's what I said. I've got small complaints. I enjoyed it as a whole.
I would say the Mando part of the first part of the episode, I loved. Anything that was Mandalorian, anything that was happening on the other side,
What do you mean by other side? Because everything seemed kind of Mandalorian to me. Do you mean Mandalorian as the character, the Mandalorian, Din Djarin?
No. Like with the Mandalorians, like Tarn and stuff. Where did Grogu come from in IG-12? Just appeared in that Imperial base.
You mean that set that is also the same set from Obi-Wan? Where he snuck into the Imperial base? I'm telling you, that's a reuse.
Oh, okay.
I don't know on that one, buddy.
And the whole thing of R5-D4, killing me. The jetpacks, like, I was just...
I almost texted you, oh boy, when I saw the jetpacks, because I know your feelings on those as it is. Well, and the combination of R5 and those jetpacks, I was like, ooh, I got to text them, but I held back.
Well, I was hating it, right, as he's, like, came out and he's wheeling in, and I was just like, this is terrible. Then he jetpacked down, and I notoriously dislike the R2-D2 jetpacks in Attack of the Clones. However, I've softened on them because they're very useful in Lego Star Wars.
Okay.
And Lego Star Wars on the iPhone makes my son very happy. So there was one point where we didn't know where to go next, and I tried R2-D2's jetpack over, and that was the way to go, and Harry was really impressed. So now I'm sort of like, jetpack's not so bad. But anyway, when he did jetpack down, that was such a hard troll on me that I just started laughing and going, oh, actually, no, this is the best thing ever. It got so hardcore. But answer me this. These imperial computer systems, like the most secure part of the whole base, just any old droid can go up and turn off. It just seems...
Buddy.
Am I crazy?
Yeah, because listen, what should be more secure than the Death Star, right? And R2-D2 interfaces with those computers and does all kinds of things, no, buddy.
It's like the highest security part of the building. Am I nuts?
Just a little bit. Right, just on this one.
We've got to get some
comments. Because R2, like, the Death Star should be the most secure base in all of Imperial history, and he's able to hack into that thing and turn off trash compactors and whatnot, get whole plans.
But couldn't turn off the tractor beam.
Well, that's because it was manual steel, and Obi-Wan had to pull that lever.
Come on, I can't be full nutbag on this. You have to like.
No, buddy, on this one, I don't. All we see are droids doing this kind of thing. If there wasn't precedent for it, then maybe.
Okay, James Waterman. Ha ha ha, I accepted BB-8 in a trash can in The Last Jedi.
He's got a point.
What does he mean by that? I remember now. Okay. And boy, I'm literally the entire mission, so I can accept that. At least there's consistency, I guess. Oh, okay. Salad Von Bacco. Steel is nuts on this one, honestly.
Most of the time, I.
Hey, Horse, how about we open up the echo chamber? How about, Salad, you are blocked, bro. Okay, I agree that the droids R2-D2 and the likes have always been able to interface with the high security things of Empire in Star Wars always. Okay, well, all right, I'll concede. I did, however, reset because I did want to enjoy the episode and I was like, Like I'm furious at R5-D4, but once he stopped, once he flew off, I was sort of like, "Oh, sick." But the bit when, so up until then, all the Mandalorian stuff, Bo-Katan, I was super into flying around, great stuff. Then, when IG-12 got cut up, that's when the episode was just sick, like insane.
Yeah, they really chucked that puppet a few more times too, huh?
But I was loving that. Like that, I was into that. Was sick. That was really,
buddy. I thought the whole confrontation from the moment he flushes his clones down the toilet, and then it's like him and Gideon fight. Then Bo-Katan comes in, and then Grogu gets separated with the Praetorian guards, then Din's with Grogu, then they're back. Like, I thought that was all pretty neat. And some of that fight choreography was pretty sick, too, man.
Very, very captivating. And what about the tag team of Force Grogu?
Mm-hmm.
And Din, and then later on Bo-Katan. Like, there's some good, like, I don't know, do you know the wrestling tag team, the Young Bucks?
I do not.
Well, they're very good at doing like team maneuvers, bouncing off each other and stuff. And they were, they reminded me of the Young Bucks. There's this week's wrestling reference.
Oh, and buddy, so listen, I take pride in knowing my friends and what they like and don't like in Star Wars, right? And one thing I know you like is a good run-in. When the comm came through and it was the armor and she said, Lady Kreese, your reinforcements are here, and it's all the Mandalorian ships coming in.
Pause, could you answer Sam Tasticon's question? Okay.
Yeah, Sam, I got you, buddy. Listen, I did not originate this theory. I saw this theory online, and I was like, oh, okay, this makes a lot of sense. So the theory is that the spies refers to, it's a bit of a biblical reference, that refers to this part in the Bible when Moses sends 12 spies into the land of Canaan, which is the promised land, to scout it and see if it's you know, safe for them to go and try to settle. So they're referred to as spies, I guess, in some translations. So a lot of people seem to think that maybe that's what it's a reference to. And then when you watch that episode with that in mind, I could see that being the case. I could certainly see that being the case.
I'm so happy that all the Mandalorians turned out to be good.
Mm-hmm. I was really hoping that wasn't going to be the case, that somebody was bad. I was pretty stoked with it.
Now, Colin Wheeler brings up a point. Dank Farrick. That's not a point. That's a Star Wars reference. Where is the end credit scene? Otherwise, 8 out of 10, great episode. I say, bravo, no end credit scene.
So
I find now that like movies and media rest so heavily, like they just, that's a crutch. Like you don't, like you go to see like a superhero film, a generic one, and it's sort of the end sort of like, and then it's the ad for the next movie that people go out buzzing about. So I liked it. It did seem a bit of it for like four. Actually, no, I was blacking out because of the hat. Actually, the hat. if we had a heart like rate thing during that hat set, I was peaking. What does everyone think of the hat? Can we get some comments on the hat, please?
Now, listen, I think that's goofy, but whatever, you know. Listen, do you want to know one of the goofy things I like about this episode is Din's continued use of the word buddy, because I call everybody buddy, right, buddy, right? Like in the way he kept calling R5-D4, who, by the way, a lot of my feelings match up with yours on the topic of that character's inclusion this season. But when he kept calling him buddy, I was like, that's my dude. He talks just like me, for real.
Yeah, I think once he jetpacked in, that was just like a Band-Aid right off.
We got to get you, he's got to get added to your wall of troll, right? Like with C-3PO's.
He's already on there.
Oh, really?
because the Hasbro one opened up and it had that rocket firing thing in there.
That's perfect.
Yeah, so that's like one of the worst toys of all time. A Green Cow says, side note, the Steel Wars episodes where Harrison interrupts Steel Melt My Heart, 10 out of 10. Hopefully not tonight, because we've made special finale accommodations with the sound and stuff. Cutting Room 4 says, why did the Mandalorians need to get into their jump ships? They all had jetpacks. Bro, so they could do sessies onto the ramps.
I think the answer there is because it looks cool, right?
Yeah, sessies.
It was awesome, dude. Ooh. This is like, not to bring it, because I always talk about toys sometime, but like, man, do you know, I would go buy one of those Mandalorian gauntlet fighters so fast. I even started looking. I was like, surely they must have done one of those back when they were doing like Clone Wars toys and stuff. And they don't. They don't have one.
How about this? Zach Kavanaugh says, thoughts on just flushing the Gideon clones and the entire point of episode 3 down the drain. I bought into the dastardly plan is revealed and then is stopped at the last moment. That whole part of the episode, until the hat, I was sort of like, it wasn't what I expected, but I was sort of banging. I was terrified that Grogu was going to get a helmet.
That's going to happen eventually.
But I'm so happy that droid's gone, the IG-12. I they just didn't know what to do with Grogu. He's sort of.
I mean, I think
like this season, he really didn't add.
He didn't, and that was actually kind of why I liked IG, the concept and execution of IG-12 in the last episode, because it gave him a little more autonomy in the story where he could participate in the events. But I also don't know that it would have been the best thing to keep around, right? Like, you could see how they would lean on that too heavily going forward. Personally, I thought they did it enough in these, featured it enough in these two episodes, right?
See, Sam Tastacon is here to make me feel sane. How's this one? Why would you clone your warrior self in your late 50s? Because that's
he's a narcissist.
Because that's the age the actor is, and you're watching a Star Wars show. That's why. Come on. Come on. Oh, James Waterman says, one of these clones is going to end up selling space meth out of a chicken shop on Tatooine.
Heck yeah. That's season two of Book of Boba Fett right there.
What else happened in the episode, Hawes?
Because it was kind of... Oh, dude, I thought old Axe Woves was pretty sick this episode. Dude, like, flying up into the out atmosphere, getting on the cruiser, getting everybody out, and then like taking on all the TIE fighters himself, and then doing like the, you know, the maneuver. I was like, oh damn, they're gonna kill this dude. They finally gave him some lines, and they're not. Nah, he's out the window, bro. He said, I'm not going out. Out the window. Loved it.
Made you realize how much you'd miss him.
Right. Right.
And like the fact that like he did put it all on the line, and it was like, I thought it was really well done the way they showed that him staying there made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't like,
because that allowed right their fighters to go down and release the Mandalorians. They didn't have to get engaged with TIE fighters.
But then he did the kamikaze as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like they wouldn't have been able to do that. Randy's saying force field, and I don't know why.
Force field. Oh, the force field at the end with Grogu. He did a force field to save everybody.
Is that a pun?
Yeah, yeah. Certainly. I'm going to feel real dumb if that's not what he meant.
Did you see my tribute on Twitter to Randy's reaction?
I did. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty special. Cutting Room 4 says Axe Wolves, my favorite brand of deodorant. But yeah, so this Axe Wolves dude, I was like the way they set him up and that he did make a difference. And then he was going to do the nosedive. When he shot out and flew out, old Saunders on the couch, Axe.
Nice.
Raised a fist.
Nice.
We should start a fan club called the Axe Handles.
Okay. The first two members here.
Who else wants to be in there? There's a few Axe. Okay, what about this one, Hawes? Tyler Grant. I thought it was unrealistic to leave the atmosphere with a jetpack. Bag riding. That's what an ironic end to the sentence.
Got him. Didn't bother me, buddy. I mean, the rules, the Star Wars rules for jetpacks are fast and loose, right? They do whatever they need them to do, is one thing that's clear about jetpacks in Star Wars.
One thing that maybe David Collins can be credited for, it has been well established that there's some sort of seal.
Mm-hmm.
You always hear donk.
Yeah.
Or, shh.
Mm-hmm.
So they did have that sound effect. So if that was me, if I had that issue, once I had that little fill in, that's a move along.
Yeah, maybe he means like the force required to get you out of atmosphere seems a little inadequate. But
say, how do they even make the jetpacks go up, Hawes? Is it with their hands, their tongue?
I don't really know.
Dude, you love Boba Fett and you don't even know how he takes off.
I still can't believe Boba Fett wasn't in this season.
I want you to answer this question.
I think it's their hands. They got little controls on their hands. Got them. Let's move on. Move along. Move along.
What about toes?
Well, hey, man, could be.
Hey, that's actually not a bad. I think I just pabloid.
They wiggle they wiggle their toes.
Oh, how about this? Zach Kavanaugh also ripped Darksaber.
I didn't see that. That was surprising to me because it's such a big deal and has been such a big deal in Star Wars.
You know, that can only mean season four, rebuild Darksaber.
Certainly. Yeah, he said it's activated by eyebrows in their head, their helmet.
Speaking of activated eyebrows, is a segue for you, Boo. How about the old classic guy in the chamber opening his eyes?
Oh, the jump scare that everybody would have seen coming? Yeah.
It made it worse that you saw it coming. Because I was sort of like, nah, they're not going to do it.
And sure enough, he did.
Yet the fight scenes were insane.
I love, like, and effects wise, it might have been the part that maybe didn't hold up the most, but like the Mandalorians and the Imperials flying at each other, fighting, like, it was a little loosey goosey effect wise, but I thought it was sick.
Hawes.
Mm-hmm.
Read this one.
Johnny G says, Skinny Pete with the sweet underground homegrown. My dude.
That was all the Mandalorian stuff I was loving while I was gritting my teeth through the other bit. The little scene where they went to the farm or the little oasis, that was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Aubrey says, I am whelmed.
So that doesn't mean she's underwhelmed or overwhelmed. She's like right in the middle, right?
Yeah, I think I'm like that. Like, it was exciting to watch, but I didn't. I didn't leave like, whoa, what? Except when Axe Wills did that, and I did that actually.
I'll tell you this, I probably would have been more whoa if I didn't leave going, was that it? Was that like the end of Mandalorian? Like that left me, and like, stupid me immediately was like, well, surely there'll be an article. Like, yeah, who's going to be putting up an article at 3 a.m. Central Time?
Peter Serretta would be.
Probably.
/film.com.
Yep, and editing videos about all the food at Super Mario World.
Oh, my stars. So Steph, Jackie's sister, just loves that channel.
It's really good. They're really good. I watch it.
Oh, no, but like, it's just weird because it's one of our friends. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I don't know Peter. I don't know that guy.
Great. You'd be great friends. But yeah, she's like, it's full like celebrity status.
Like, oh, really? She's like, oh my God, you know.
Yeah, like freak out celebrity status. But what else have we got in the, the cutting room floor. I'm so glad the Darksaber is gone. Sorry, I never cared for that bit of lore. I do have to say, what about that aerial jetpack Darksaber stabby stab stab
loved
montage?
It. Loved it. Loved it, man.
It was out of control. Oh, there was a sweet shot of Bo-Katan and Moff Gideon. And then in the background, you could see all the people battling. Kind of like the Return of the Jedi shot when you could see the battle out the Death Star window.
Mm-hmm.
It's like poetry at Rhymes Hall.
Or, the fight on Geonosis when you can see all the little individual fights with different Jedi in the background. I really like, I think it's silly in like the most funny Star Wars way that the armorer uses her blacksmithing tools as weapons. But when she was flying around killing dudes with those, I thought it was pretty neat.
When they do that, I watched Gladiator the other day on the plane. And it's like that sort of battle or the battles in Gladiator. It's just like, how's everyone not dead?
Right.
There's so many people just like, bah! Like, how is not, it's not just like he gets him in the back and then he gets him like, or her, but like, there's just like, but you know, it's not how the TV and cinema industry work, apparently. How about Pedro? No Pedro.
Yeah, well, because he was not on set for a single minute of this season.
He dropped past once because he heard the it was Taco Tuesday.
No, he was like, yeah, I should probably go in and say hey to everybody. Been filming The Last of Us, you know, no big deal.
Okay, Aubrey says it was okay. Definitely a different pace and not the same wow factor as the last few seasons. If you compare all the finales, this one contrasts drastically. Ha ha.
Now listen, when you compare this finale to the finale of season two, I totally agree. And you know, there's not much that's going to replicate that shock and emotion and excitement with what they did in the season two finale. The season one finale was really good, but I feel like this finale matches up with the season one finale pretty well, right? Like if you think back, the big reveal of the season one finale is that Gideon has the Darksaber at the very end. And I feel like the scale of this one is way bigger than that season one finale.
Oh, yeah. It was,
yeah.
Like, when they were all fighting and that, like, light cruiser or whatever was crashing in, like,
mm-hmm.
that was gnarly.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to circle back around to this guy. Did you get a little bit of an episode 3 vibe from R5-D4 messing with the mouse and the mouse droids messing with him? To me, that kind of reminded me of like R2 at the beginning of episode 3 when he's messing with, I mean, obviously it's a different circumstance because it's battle droids and stuff. But like it's, they're contacting R2 trying to get help. He's contacting R5 trying to get help and now he's getting hassled by some mouse droids.
Yes, it does remind me of a scene I equally dislike.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly why I wanted to bring it up, Steele, is because like I wanted to make that connection there for you, buddy.
And they had little like light up police sirens, like Harry's Playmobil Ghostbusters Ecto One.
Mm-hmm.
Spared no expense. Yeah, I just could have lived without that little bit of droid comedy in the drama of, like, just let me enjoy Mandalorians getting almost strangled and then firing people and stuff. David Lee says, disappointed not to see X-Wings joining the battle.
Now that would have been sick.
Yeah, but I don't think you can judge it on
stuff not showing up.
Yeah, like...
Where
was Leia in the Tantive IV?
When I sit down and...
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Peter. Lights was weird.
When I sit down to, like, think of the series as a whole so far, I'm gonna be harsh on it for not including Boba Fett, man. And one throwaway line? Get out of here. You're just going to let that one marinate out there for a little while? Yeah, okay, buddy.
James Waterman says, if it wasn't R5, I think I'd like it more. I agree, James, but I'm far more negative than you, so I'd say I'd dislike it less. Oh, Justin Rodriguez.
Sup. That's what's up, buddy.
Jedi Master of Truth. So this is a vetted source. Disappointing. It felt like they took my hand and ran with it. Finale felt rushed and terrible plot. I thought the middle bit of the plot was epic, but also, why not, hear me out everyone, take episode 7 and 8 and just rewrite that so it's the whole season.
Right. Spend some more time on it and stuff. I could see that.
And so we know about the clones and stuff. Because that was... That was the meat. The council, the shadow council.
I'll say this, like...
Oh, what happened with Pershing? He's just gone.
So hold on, no, for real, he's, though.
He's like with Ahmed Best.
I just lost what I was going to say.
I'll put that up and you just get
thank
angry.
You.
Where's Boba? Asked Tim Prevost.
So you know what? As far as...
Sorry. Justin Rodriguez says, once the credits rolled, I said, love that. Can't wait to hear why people hated it.
Well, I loved it, buddy.
I had a great time.
Now, I'll say this. You were talking about last credit sequence scenes and how you, applaud them for not you doing one. I get it. I could have got like one that I think would have been kind of cool would have been like maybe another Shadow Council scene, like where they're discussing that Moff Gideon's dead and, you know, throw the name Thrawn in there a couple of times, set up for Ahsoka. I could have gone with something like that because that Shadow Council stuff was real cool.
Yeah, I like that they made it to stand on its own two feet. Randy, the cursing user, says, that's the deal. Three episodes encompassed the meat of this entire season. Thankfully, nanobots didn't help them restore Mandalore.
Mm-hmm. That'll be next season.
What else went down, Hawes, in this...
I mean, we've hit a lot of the big stuff. It was a very action-oriented episode.
Hawes. I just want everyone to chime in their thoughts about the hat.
So Zach brings up something that... What is up with Mandalorian naming convention, by the way? Din Grogu? You mean Din is that man's last name this whole time?
So his name's Jaren.
I guess she said you are now Din Grogu.
Hey, James Waterman poses the question, didn't Filoni wear the hat in the Zeb episode 2? Did he?
Mm-hmm.
No way. So I just blocked that out.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Huh.
Yeah, and then all like Sabine Wren and all her family all have the last name Wren. That's a little loosey-goosey.
Yeah, that seems odd, but I couldn't care less. I could a little.
I just want to know, man.
Not much. What does Steve Violent say? With subtitles on, mm-hmm. Grogu was laughing when he was facing off the Praetorian guards.
I heard it. I didn't watch it with subtitles, but I heard him laughing and thought it was a funny detail.
Ah, I just wanted to see Din Grogu get more Jedi training. He almost has 1,000 years to be a Mando and Jedi. Ben loved the hat. Blocked and reported Ben. Jeez. No, it's fine. We welcome hat lovers. And Hawes is a hat guy.
I'm a hat guy. Yeah. I'm rocking the Vladi Divac, huh?
I wouldn't have minded a more forceful Grogu. Really assert himself. Like he did the force bubble. But that really, it's like poetry, it rhymes.
And some force pushes and some force pulls.
On, the end of season one where he did the fire block. But, I wanted to really see him, crush some Praetorians.
Yeah, I kind of thought it would have been neat if Din opened the door and the Praetorians are just toast already. You know what I mean? You don't think so? Okay.
Too cute. I want to see it.
No, I mean, we get to see it, but the idea of Din thinking he's in trouble. No, I still think we get to see it. Okay. Show, don't tell.
Excellent. The Mythosaur thing at the end was just...
Yeah, he was like, huh? What? All right.
I just thought you could just leave it. Because it did... The ending did feel a bit Return of the King.
It did. It kept going. And that's what I'm telling you, man. It feels like the last episode of the series. I don't think it is, but they sure... Like, if that's how they want to wrap up this arc, then that's cool. Like, I get it. We can sort of start fresh with the next season. But we know there's limited time, too, before the show, the movie.
Because when Greef Karga's explaining stuff, like, but you can still go on your adventures, I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, well, they're really spelling out about what season four will be about.
At least to start off, for sure.
But then, yeah, as it went on, I'm like, is this the last, like, and the zoom in, mm-hmm. which, if it's the last one, that would make me forgive it, because I didn't like it for the end of a Star Wars
I didn't either.
Thing.
Yeah, but one of my small complaints.
What if, right, ignoring Greef Karga's comment, which is very confusing, this is it for Mandalorian until the movie.
It could be.
And that's like the returning, like, returning great coming back into headline WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so I, you know, honestly, I wouldn't, I was about to say he might show up, right, in some of the other series. Ahsoka, not that this has stopped them, but doesn't seem like it would be the easiest. Well, I don't know. He did mention something to Carson Teva about he's going to help him patrol the Outer Rim, right?
Yeah, but that could just be setting up what's he been doing.
That's true.
There's a bit of chatter about the name first. I just think it doesn't.
Like, yeah, I saw somebody, maybe Aubrey, I can't remember. Somebody said maybe that's just what they do in the covert, right? Like, okay. I thought it was interesting. Like, Dan Grover?
Yeah, it's AT-AT AT for me.
Fair enough.
How old is Bo-Katan by this point, roughly? Like, I thought she was like 55 or something.
Yeah, she's somewhere in her 50s, I believe, at this point.
What else is happening here? God, the fight scenes were good.
They were. And I got to say, like, the changing the shields and then Din would fight the two guards, right? And he was like, I don't have any weapons. And you'd see him, like, pick up different weapons, lose different weapons, use their shields. They were using those stun batons from the sequel trilogy at one point, too. Mm-hmm. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, I just it was the droid that was on the Lars homestead.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, when do you reckon it went and fought in the rebellion? Before or after Star Wars?
Oh, buddy. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we're going to see him in an episode of Bad Batch Season 3.
Ooh. Yeah, we mentioned this before. Tim Previs says Grogu force assist in the fight was cool.
It was.
That was, yeah, I have to say, I thought that, like, the post, before the hat, when I blacked out, the way they ended it was pretty dope. I wasn't like a massive fan of the doing the force field again, but it was, you know, it was like fine. But the whole thing, I found it actually like really like enthralling Star Wars.
Yeah, and I like the scene at the Living Waters with all the Mandalorians and their cool drums. I really like the scene where they relight the Great Forge and everybody starts doing for Mandalore, and you see like covert Mandalorians hanging out with, you know, Bo-Katan's faction of Mandalorians. I thought that was real cool.
How's that forge fueled?
Hopes and dreams, baby.
Like, if it's gas, like, wouldn't the gas just be running into that room before they lit it? Or they just have a lighter under, like, they just, like, pulled the thing out to get it going.
Now it's got a pilot light, like a yes. water heater.
Okay. All right. Sweet. James Waterman comforts me with Steele, I'm in agreement, had a freak out moment about this whole R5 thing a few weeks ago. Like, when? How?
Yes. It is, to me, the thing that makes the least sense in any of the Star Wars shows so far as him referring to R5 as a hero of the rebellion.
Mm. It's just a bit of spice at the end. Tharal Unfiction says Boba Fett left out. Cry odd man out.
Where that is Boba? Bump. Man, oh no, man.
Someone's with me on, sorry, Hawes, but someone is with me about this. How did Grogu get into the base to
Yeah. Yep. I don't know what they're doing with Boba, buddy. I don't know. At this point, I guess I just got to hope that he's in the big movie, right?
I would say you have to be.
I like how you stopped and just short of being like, oh, yeah, you were like, well, hold on. Let's hold on. I don't know, man.
I just think with that Filoni film. Let's get it up right there. If we're gonna talk about the man, let's revel in the hat. I just feel like for that film that's gonna culminate, I just think it's all hands on deck.
Everybody that's been involved in the story that's still around,
dude,
right?
The Mithril is going to be showing up.
No, he is not. Maybe played by a different actor.
Oh, did that actor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Is that Walter?
That is Walter.
Excellent. Oh, I miss having a cat interrupt the podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy.
That's okay. This is funny. James Waterman writes, seriously, we should have gotten a Boba Fett post-credit scene like Ferris Bueller looking at the camera like going, you still here? Go home. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
You remember seeing that in the cinema and just like, how did he know?
Oh, I think I didn't get a chance. I don't think I saw that in cinema. I saw it at home.
Steve Violent says, I know this episode was corny, but I'm glad all the Mandos actually worked together and didn't backstab, especially Axe. I thought it did veer into the realm of corniness.
Yeah, but it was it was the particular brand of Star Wars corny I like, to be honest.
Yeah, it was, I definitely like a ragtag group coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. Does the Filoni movie happen if Ahsoka is as bad as this? I think... because Filoni's writing all those, yeah.
The Ahsoka show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, let's...
We'll see.
Let's see it. But it, mm-hmm. it could be... definitely the ones he co-wrote this season were better. I assume he co-wrote this one as well, or am I wrong?
I don't know. I was so concerned being like, are they going to do is this the end of the whole series? Are they about to do a post-credit sequence that I didn't even see?
Oh, my God. Hawes, Nick Webster wants to know, who are the spies then?
Okay.
No, Nick, you just have to rewind about
Yeah.
It'll be on the screen, actually. We had the little thing come up and say it. But, Hawes, it's a biblical reference that means people going into a land or something. So it was the Mandalorians were the spies. It's a different use of the word. We all got tricked. James Waterman's got a comment about the cleanliness of Mando helmets, which is just veering unreportable. Grateful Dead thinks it's a lol that it was corny.
Listen, I think so. I acknowledge it, but it's my favorite kind of corny in Star Wars. So, you know.
Corny stuff can be good. Grateful Dead Pat.
Have you ever seen Bloodsport? It's awesome. Bro, but it's very corny.
Have you ever heard Chicago? Oh, my stars. Grateful Dead Pat still has the comment, the critique of it should have been Grogu Dajin. Though right, so I like that everyone's still got a little gripey gripe.
Mm-hmm.
And James Waterman is going to get fired up about bricks and screws. That'll have to be a super chat, mate.
We might have to shut down the stream if we're going into the bricks and screws conversation.
SB Uno wants to know, what did I miss? What the perceived meaning of the spies was two times. That is what you've missed. Justin Rodriguez says, Din Grogu rolls off the tongue better, I think. Hey.
He's right.
Each to their own, and they are fictional characters, but I think I'm going to stick with Grogu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to call him Grogu.
Much as Harry is stuck with Baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
And Yoda, funnily enough, is called Old Baby Yoda.
Nice. You know what, my nephew, who's maybe just a year older than Harry, I think, he calls Din Djarin Boba Fett, and he calls Boba Fett fake Boba Fett.
Oh.
And my brother-in-law was so excited to have him drop that that on me the last time I was home. He was like, hey, you know, Jackson's been watching Mandalorian, right? And I was like, oh, really? What do you think? And he goes, I love Boba Fett. And I was like, we got one! And my brother-in-law was like, tell him, who is Boba Fett? And he goes, he's the Mandalorian. And I'm like, that's what I was, uh-oh, wait a second. He goes, yep, he's got the silver helmet. He hangs out with Baby Yoda. And there's another guy who wanted the armor he had. That's fake Boba Fett.
Oof.
I was like, you know what? I'm going home.
That stings. James Waterman says, I'm still with Yoju, which was a great potential name.
Mm-hmm.
Thurl Unfiction is happy to report that Skinny Pete lived.
He sure did.
That's
why we got to get a season 4, more Skinny Pete.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder what's next for the Californian-based production team.
That's a good question, because Acolyte isn't done filming yet, but it's filming in the UK. Andor's not done filming yet, and it's filming in the UK. That's a very good question. It's got to be something, you know? I would assume a second season of Ahsoka. I would assume Mando season 4, you know?
I reckon a definite second season of Ahsoka.
Yeah. But, like, you know, supposedly, they're trying to get this Mando movie out in 2026, right? That so Kathleen Kennedy said, or I can't remember. There's been so many articles in Celebration. They said,
wouldn't,
like,
it be 2027?
Mm-mm. That they're planning on the Rey movie being in 2025 and would like to follow that up with Dave Filoni's movie a year later.
But isn't there a
an Avatar? Yes. Yeah. I don't know what that means. Like, release schedule wise, what if it's just a Disney Plus movie?
No.
I don't think so either. I think that is not going to be what they do. But, and I don't even know that this might have been like Hollywood Reporter or something like that. I don't know that it was an official statement from Kathleen Kennedy.
James Waterman wants Bob Odenkirk in there as Thrawn's lawyer. He'd be good. What was that? There was Who was that character that was Thrawn's offsider in those books?
Pelion.
No, no, no. In the new canon books.
Oh, I can't remember. I've only read the first of those.
He was dope.
He was. I loved him. So, but what I was getting around to, like, let's say hypothetically that that movie is going to come out in 2026. That's realistically two more years after this for TV shows, right? So how many seasons of, like, they could maybe do one more, right? They could maybe do one more season of Ahsoka after this year with the time it takes to film and then release them. So I don't know.
I reckon that's the last Mandalorian.
You think so? You think that they sunset that character until the movie and then he shows back up?
Yeah. I don't know, but yeah.
He might show up in some of the other shows. I hope it's not.
I reckon, because you got to think about what's going to make people go watch these TV shows at the movies. And if you haven't seen it, if they're teaming up and... It could be.
So, like, I see a lot of people saying in the chat, like, yeah, but Jon Favreau said he's writing season four. So, he also said he was writing the next season of Mandalorian when he was actually writing Book of Boba Fett, right? He also said that there was no endpoint in mind recently, and then they reveal a movie that's going to be the endpoint. So, I don't know if everything he says is to be taken 100%.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's lying.
No, he could, like,
there is, I'm sure he does answer some questions.
Yeah, well, and so with, if we use the Boba Fett example, he could be writing another season of a show that's set in this
from a certain point of view.
Season 4 is not already filmed and ready. It is not. It is 100% not.
All right, dude. Should we wrap it on up?
Yeah, I'm going to go to bed. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning here.
Oh, yeah. Hey, hit like and comment underneath if you'd like to help out and algorithm. All that good stuff. Oh, Bones F says it was proper Star Wars, but way too short.
I could have used a little longer runtime too, even if it was just more runtime devoted to showing us cool stuff.
All righty. Well, I think this episode has gone on
long enough.
So, Hawes, Blue Harvest Podcast will be up this Friday with Will.
Of course. Ooh, and can I cut in real quick and say we're going to be doing a live stream for our 400th episode / 8th anniversary on May the 4th. So come hang out.
I may. What day is May the 4th on?
A Thursday.
Interesting.
If you want to come, I'm going to be sending invites to people, anybody that wants to come by.
Delightful. All right, we'll talk then. Thanks so much, Hawes. Thanks for everyone. I am relieved the season's over.
Yeah, I'm going to be bummed next Tuesday. I'll be honest with you. I'll be bummed that I don't have it to look forward
to.
So
will I.
There is a new Star Wars video game next week.
Not for me.
Well, yeah.
But, I was in a very excited mood all day. So next week I will miss it. But I'm just... I'm happy with how it ended, except for the hat.
Fair enough.
What that? Do I have to go back and watch the other one now?
To verify proof of life of the hat.
Insane. All right. I'll talk to you.
Sounds good, buddy.